Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Avalon Technologies Q4 FY23 earnings call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Bhoomika Nair from DAM Capital. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thanks, Arvin. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of DAM Capital, I would like to welcome everyone to the Q4 and FY23 earnings call of Avalon Technologies. Today, we have the management being represented by Mr. Kunmal Bhija, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Bhaskar Srinivasan, President, Mr. R.M. Subramanian, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Michael Robinson, Chief Operating Officer for U.S. Operations, and Mr. Suresh Vyas, Head of Corporate Planning and Investor Relations. We'll start off with Mr. Kunmal Bhija giving a brief overview about the company, followed by CFO Mr. R. Subramanian giving remarks on the financial performance, post which we'll open up the floor for Q&A. Before I hand over the call to the management, please do bear in mind that any forward-looking statements made during this call are subject to potential risks and uncertainties, both known and unknown. Without any further delay, I turn over the call to Mr. Bhija, the CMD. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Bhoomika. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We extend a warm welcome to all of you from Avalon Technologies for our Q4 and FY23 earnings call. We appreciate your presence and participation today. As this is our inaugural earnings call, we would like to give you a brief overview about our company, then provide an update on our results. Avalon Technologies is one of India's leading players in electronic manufacturing services with a global delivery footprint. Our story started in 1997 as two aspiring entrepreneurs with a vision of bringing world-class electronics manufacturing to India. At that time, outsourcing of software was coming to India, and outsourcing of manufacturing was moving to China. Today, India is at an inflection point, and the world looks at India for its manufacturing requirements. We are one of the leaders in high-mix, flexible volume manufacturing and are present in multiple industry verticals with a focus on complex integrated solutions with significant engineering content. These verticals include a right mix of established and long product lifecycle industries such as railways, aerospace, and industrials, and we have a clear focus on emerging industries like clean energy, where we target customers in the solar, hydrogen, and EV space. We have 12 manufacturing units located in India and United States, and we are now adding two more manufacturing units in Chennai. One of our core differentiators is that we offer vertically integrated solutions. Today, we are a one-stop shop offering true box-build solutions that involves PCB design, PCB assembly, new product development, cable assembly, sheet metal, plastics, magnetics, and finally, we test and do the logistics. We do end-to-end development from PCB design to manufacturing of final product. On PCB assembly, we make complex multilayer assemblies that are used for mission-critical applications like railway signaling systems, braking systems, vehicle tracking systems, medical equipment, et cetera. On PCB design, we are one of India's largest PCB design and analysis teams based out of Bengaluru. On cables, we do complex cable assemblies and wire harnesses. On sheet metal and machining, we make precision engineering products for mission-critical applications, and we have NADCAP approval for sheet metal fabrication and welding. On magnetics, we make different transformers or different types that are specifically designed and manufactured for clean energy and other products. Plastics is a small and growing division where we have injection molding capabilities. Alongside this, we also manage supply chain and logistics to have a complete offering to our customers. Each of these capabilities are helping Avalon towards delivering a true complex box-build solution. All our divisions integrate and deliver to our customers, and today, box-build contributes to around 47% of our revenues in FY 2023. In summary, our key differentiators are, one, vertical integration in its true sense, enabling us to be focused as a boxable player. Two, global presence, both in terms of manufacturing presence as well as customer base. Three, focusing on winning opportunities not only in the mainstream sectors but also emerging sectors like clean energy and high-margin businesses like aerospace. Now coming to business highlights. We have signed domestic and MNC customers in the past few months. To note a few key ones, we won a new business from one of the world's largest aerospace conglomerates, including a factory transfer project to India. On clean energy, we have made progress through signing letters of intent and contracts with emerging industry players, supporting them in their manufacturing. Given the high complexity, it takes us 6 to 12 months in delivering products at a sizable scale to our new customers. Hence, we expect this portion of the revenue will start from the latter part of FY24. Our order book increased from 858 crores in March 22 to 1,231 crores in March 23. This only includes firm purchase orders and does not include long-term contracts and letters of intent. We have a CapEx-like model, hence we have high asset turn of around 10.4x and a high ROCE number. While 59% of our customers are based out of the US, 72% of our manufacturing is done in India, and we see our India customer base rapidly expanding. With our focus on clean energy segment, 25% of our revenues come from this vertical and is expected to increase in the next 2 years. Now on the industry outlook, growth strategy and guidance, we see strong industry tailwinds pushing the bar of EMS manufacturing to the next level in India. EMS is a $1 trillion market and India is at an inflection point. We have been waiting for this inflection point since we started the company. So far, China has been the beneficiary of this. Now India is eyeing a market share growth from 2.2% to 7%. India and US will be the fastest growth in the EMS market in the next 5 years, and we are well positioned to operate successfully in both these regions. We operate today by choice in high complex, high margin B2B space and not in the low margin, high volume segments. Our growth strategy is predicated on building businesses that see an intersection of a 30% growth with a 13% plus operating margins over a longer period of time. Our focus in organization is about profitable growth. We are building businesses focused on long-term trajectory rather than short-term results. That's why we are focused on building a business of profitable growth in the long-term rather than growth at any cost in the short-term. We have a three-pronged growth strategy. One, optimal mix of customer base across India and US. Optimal mix of today's established industries like industrials, mobility and communication, and tomorrow's emerging industries like clean energy. Optimal balance between profitability and growth. With the slowdown in the US and onboarding of our customers in clean energy, we expect H2 to be stronger than H1. The component shortage issue has been there for the last 2 to 3 years, but is easing now. On a conservative basis, we are looking to double our revenues in the next 3 years. For FY24, we are looking at a revenue growth of 25 to 30%, and operating margins are estimated to increase to 12 to 13%. Before I conclude, I want to emphasize that the paramount significance lies in fortifying our organization and ensuring its readiness for the next phase of growth. I will now hand over the call to RMS, our CFO, to take you through the financials. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, KB, and good evening to everybody, and thanks for joining the call today. From the big picture which KB gave, I'll get on to the numbers in terms of giving the specifics. I would like to start this conversation with a discussion on the last quarter gone by, on Q4 FY23. In Q4 FY23, our revenue from operations is at 272 crores, an increase of 29.6 year-on-year, and a 16.8 quarter-on-quarter. In terms of gross margin, it's at 102 crores, up by 39% year-on-year, and 26% quarter-on-quarter basis. So in terms of percentage, gross margin percentage is at 37.5, an increase of 265 bps on a year-on basis and about similar on a sequential basis. So look at EBITDA. EBITDA stands at 41.1 crores, up about 74.2 year-on-year and 103% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. EBITDA margins that stood at 15.1%, an increase of 388 bps on a yearly basis and a 644 bps on a quarter-on-quarter basis. PAT stood at for the quarter at 22.7 crores, up 113.1% year-on-year and a 296.18% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. PAT margin stood at 8.2%. I'd like to say that, you know, in terms of the quarter performance, conclude by saying Q4 is an example of higher throughput and an operating leverage impact kicking in, and efforts are made to ensure that we replicate this for the whole year. Now moving on to the whole financial year for FY23, our revenue from operations stood at 944.7 crores, an increase of 12.4%. Gross margin is at 338 crores, in which increased by about 17.9%. EBITDA stood at 112.8 crores, a growth of 15.6% against FY22. EBITDA margin stood at 11.9%, an increase of 34 bps year-on-year. PAT stood at 52.5%, up 10.6% year-on-year, with PAT margin at 5.5%. This increase is compared against on a like-to-like basis for the previous year, removing the extraordinary item. Coming to our revenue mix in terms of customer geography, KB talked about, 59% of revenues was from US geography in FY23, and the balance came from India and other countries. Whereas manufacturing, about 72% was manufactured in India and the balance in US. Moving on in terms of IPO funds utilization, if you remember, in terms of approved utilization, our debt repayment is about 145 crores, working capital of 90 crores, and GCP of 85 crores is approved utilization, which totals up to 320 crores. We are quite into it in terms of the last 2 months. What we have done is using a mix of IPO and a company-generated funds. Today, we have repaid approximately about 200 crores of outstanding debt in the Indian entities. As of today, at the group level, by end of this quarter, we will be left with approximately 100 crore of debt in our US subsidiaries here now. Our Indian entities will be debt-free. That's sort of at the end of the year. Moving on to the we've been using the balance of IPO funds in terms of working capital and general corporate purposes. Overall, it's been, by end of this quarter, we should have completely used the IPO funds. Moving on to the balance sheet side, our working capital days was 148 days in FY23, comprising of 123 days of inventory, 80 days of receivables, and 55 days of payables. Our net working capital has increased in comparison to FY23, and mainly due to increase in inventory, which is in turn due to supply chain issues. As the supply chain issues easing, we believe the net working capital days should improve going forward. The IPO has significantly strengthened our working capital, as we more now have the capacity to service contracts with a higher delivery cycle and requiring larger capex upfront, and significantly shields us from supply chain issues which we witnessed in the past. We expect our net working capital days to reduce by 10 to 15 days over the medium term on account of control of inventory and receivables. Moving on in terms of liquidity, our present cash and cash equivalent stands at approximately rupees 115 crores, and we'll be deploying the same for the planned capex and funding our growth. Over and above that, we intend to maintain the working capital lines in India, which will be to the tune of approximately about 175 crores, which should give the added cushion for us to aggressively bid for and execute large orders which are in the pipeline. In summary, if we continue to operate with the levels as performed in Q4, the operating leverage will significantly kick in and ensure that operating and net margin profiles remain higher. Over and above that, reducing inventory and net working capital levels will release cash from the system. Coupled with this, and the leverage capacity available in the balance sheet, will ensure that our growth is fully funded, which is one of the key objectives of the IPO. And we are on track for the same. With this, I request KB for the closing remarks.
Thank you, Arun. We are heartened by the strong support from our investors during our IPO in a tough market. We will strive to repose the faith that investors have placed on our company. I express my sincere gratitude for your unwavering support and confidence in our company. Together, we are poised for an exceptional journey of profitable growth and success. With that, I would request the moderator to open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rahul Gajare from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead. Rahul Gajare, the line for you has been unmuted.
Yes. Thank you. Good evening, gentlemen, and congratulations for good performance on the P&L. Now, I have something specifically on working capital that I'll come to separately. Sir, if you could spend some time and, you know, explain to us, you know, what has happened in terms of the significant uptick that we saw in the margin in this particular quarter. And also, you know, that has aided the overall full year margin also. That's the first question. I've got a couple of more questions. I'll come back after that.
Yeah. I'll take that. In terms of gross margin for the quarter, as you know, it went up significantly. Basically, it's a mix of couple of factors. Okay. When compared to other companies where we produce the same product year on year, it can be attributed to a single factor. But for us, we do a service a mix of customers, so it's multiple factors which comes in, starting with the product mix, the type of product mix in that particular quarter. And also the one of the other key factors also the freight cost. As you know, during COVID time, freight costs had gone up. So subsequently, the freight cost has come out of the peak, and that's also aided in terms of reducing the margins improved because of that. Over and above that, some of the product mix which you talked about, we had some of new customers joining in. Okay, so which at the early stages, typically it's we have prototypes orders which are more in the service in nature. So again, margins does go up. Overall, all of these factors did contribute about increase about 300 bps. Okay.
Okay, thanks. Sir, my second question is on the revenue front. We had a strong growth of about 30% in this particular quarter. And I understand it is aided by likes of communication and clean energy. In the overall revenue, is it possible you can break it up between the segments that you cater to?
I don't have for that particular quarter in terms of revenue. Maybe I can just...
You can give it for the year.
For the year, I can talk about it. Clean energy is about 25%. Industrial is about 29%. And mobility is about 21%. These are the three major ones. Communication is about 10%. Medical is about 7%. And rest is others.
And which is the area specifically you are seeing very strong traction in terms of, you know, inquiries with or discussion with customers?
So two specific areas, when we say mobility, there are three areas we work in mobility. One is the railway segment, the aerospace segment, and the auto segment, or which is the EV side. On where we are seeing a lot of traction is in the aerospace segment, though it takes time to come through, but we are happy to say that two or three projects have landed. We got the first set of POs to start that. And we believe these are much longer term contracts, and it sets us up for growth for the next 5 years.
So one of the concerns that you know, one would have over here is, you know, while, you know, certainly long term wise we see things are pretty positive in terms of, you know, more outsourcing happening over here. But, you know, is there any way we can quantify, you know, over the next 5 years, this is the kind of opportunity we are looking at? And if that can be broken up into the verticals, you know, based on your discussion with clients, is that something that we can have some color on?
Yeah, so on the I can give you some of the top verticals. We see clean energy growing from 25% what it is today. It was around 20% last year. We see that going north of 30 to 35% in the next 12 to 18 months. That's where our growth will come from. We see the air segment, the aerospace where we do metals, cables and plastics. We see that growing at around 30 to 40% year over year. That makes sense. And the industrial and mobility will grow at the usual rate, as we can see.
So my last question before I get back to the queue. Now, in terms of guidance, you talked about 25 to 30% revenue growth with 12 to 13% margin for FY24. What is the peak revenue that you can achieve based on your existing asset? And therefore, what is the capex that you have in your mind, you know, say in FY25 or so?
So I'll address the first part of it. This is KP, and I'll have RMS as CFO address the second part of it. So we believe we are operating at around 60 to 65% capacity in our various factories. So there's, without anything required, at least a 40 to 50% growth is easily achievable. Apart from that, we're also building two new facilities, around 160,000 square feet, getting ready for the future after that. RMS, you want to take the second
yeah.
question?
In terms of the CapEx, our estimate is for FY24, we estimate about 30 to 35 crores is what our spend will be on the buildings and the plant and machinery, which KB talked about. And FY20 will be in the range of 40 to 45 crores. This is again coming from where our strategy has always been to work on a capital-like model, so we are not looking at significant CapEx. That strategy will continue going forward.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. For follow-up questions, you may rejoin the queue. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one if you wish to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Prithvi Raj from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
So my first question is on the exports. So obviously, among all the EMS companies, we have higher share of exports, and that would have impacted our revenue to a certain extent in the last few months. Just wanted to get a sense from you, you know, how are we seeing exports traction picking up? Are we seeing higher order inflows or inquiries coming from clients? Could you just throw some light on that?
Yes, Prithviraj. This is KB. So what... In an ideal scenario, we're seeing two areas. One, I'll talk about exports initially. We do have a significant part of our business on the export side. We started off as, you know, at 80% export and maybe 10 to 20% local market a few years back. Today, we are around 38% in the local market and the rest as export. We see the trend continuing, but we also see that there's immense growth coming from India. So ideally, you know, in a situation like where we are today, where you have recessionary trends in the export market in the Western world, we believe that we can get a lot of business in India to make sure that we meet the requirements. Okay. But saying that, a lot of our big orders and businesses as of today, especially in the aero and the clean energy space, is coming from exports.
So how are we seeing that exports, order inquiries, etc.? Is there any pickup in the inflows or still we are seeing signs of slowdown?
Now, on the new projects where customers are long-term, we are seeing new projects getting added. In fact, we've added four new projects in the last 4 or 5 weeks, which is significant because most of these projects run into multiple years. So new projects, we are seeing good traction. But on existing products, there is a couple of issues in the U.S. is one is the recessionary trends, and two is after 3 years of consistent buying and supply chain challenges, some inventory correction is happening in the U.S., to be very frank and honest with you. So there will be little ups and downs in the next couple of quarters on existing customers, but the business is still there and they are coming back to a normal mode where they will plan for inventory in a normal fashion and not with these supply chain challenges. So some correction is happening, but we are well equipped to deal with the new customers and new products are kicking in.
Got it. And one follow-up question on your domestic business comment. Here, could you please help us, you know, in understanding which are the sectors that you are focusing on the domestic business side and where you are seeing
some traction? Yeah, so where we are seeing a lot of traction is, you know, on the EV side as well as the industrials. So that's been our key drivers in the domestic market.
And one final question from my side. See, structurally, how do we see your EBITDA margin, sir? I mean, I'm not saying about couple of quarters, maybe 2-3 years down the line. Can we reach to 14-15% EBITDA margin because we have higher share of value-added products, or margins might remain at these levels?
Yeah, I'll take this, RMS here. So today we've been operating about 12% EBITDA margins, and our guidance has been about 12-13% in terms of moving forward. What we believe is if we see consistent growth at 25-30 the way we expect, and value addition in terms of vertical integration, when the product stabilizes, because when the early products comes in, it does take a bit of time for the margins to stabilize. There is always a possibility with the operating leverage impact, margins going about 13% plus. But that's more for the future in terms of going forward, and the rest of the time we'll stick to the guidance of what we are given.
Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you, Prithviraj.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Pujan Shah from Congruence Advisors. Please go ahead.
Okay. Hi, sir. First question would be on the inventory side. As you have told that the US is like going for a de-inventorization, so are we holding a higher inventory than a usual one? So what will be the net working capital days we are looking into on a usual phase?
RMS here. Let me try and take it. In terms of inventory, okay, our receivables and payables have generally been under control, so it's about inventory which we need to focus on. So today is about 123 days, and our belief is moving forward, because supply chain issues are behind us, we should be able to reduce the inventory by 10 to 15 days by end of this year. So that's what we work towards it. And if you look at our pre-COVID days, the net working capital cycle is about 80 to 90 days. We operate in that range. So in the long term, we should be able to reach that, or once sort of the many of the products are what we're getting in stabilizes. Because during the growth phase, inventory holding inventory under control is particularly for new products is difficult. But once they reach, many of them reach the stability, that's something which we can aspire to in the long term. But for the current, this is the guidance what we'd like to stick to.
Okay. And sir, in clean energy, are we seeing any domestic competition? I know that majority of the revenue comes in from the US for the clean energy space. But even though if you look at the market, so Indian market is around 600 crores. So how is the competition evolving in the clean energy? Because everyone is going for attraction for that specific basis. So how you are eyeing for that, and how 4-5 years ahead of the line, what would be the thing which you have been expecting to?
So that's a very interesting question. So far, we have not seen too much of competition. Not saying that we will we'll for sure see that in the future. But the key elements for the clean energy is just not step and repeat of PCB assemblies. So you need, there's a lot of magnetics, 30% of the bill of materials, magnetics and transformers. You have a lot of sheet metal. You have a lot of machining. You have a lot of cables. So since a vertical integration model, which will that is the reason why we are benefiting on that. And there's a second point. I'm not sure if we are aware that there's a bill in the United States called the Infrastructure Bill, which gives subsidies for manufacturing of the product in the U.S. So our strategy has been that the labor-intensive part will be done in India. The final assembly and test will be done in the U.S. So a certain percentage of the manufacturing has to be done in India. We have planned this over the years, and that's why we have factories on both locations. So I think it will play to our favor to get more business in this field because of the India-U.S. strategy.
So, okay, on a larger space, U.S., can you just state what are the competitive, like which companies have been competitive for us in like for clean energy space?
So it's I won't name our competitors, but let me put it this way: the projects we have won and what we are proud of, these are global majors who are $10 to $20 billion in size. Okay. And we have competed with them and won the business. Okay. And the other piece why we are successful doing this is that we engage with the customer around 12 to 18 months before the product is launched. So we are doing the prototypes. We are working with the customer to take products from engineering to production. So these two help us get a foot in the door. We compete with the world's best to get it.
Okay. Got it. Sir, one question.
Sorry
will
to
be
interrupt,
on the,
sir. We request you to please rejoin the queue for follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Darshil Jhaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening, sir, and thank you so much for taking my question. Firstly, sir, congratulations on a great set of results. So I just wanted to know, in our industry, is there some seasonality like that would, you know, impact our revenue and subsequently the margins, because Q4 has seen a higher revenue and that has given us leverage. So will there be a seasonality going forward, or there's a steady state of revenue?
The revenue is there, the orders are there. The key for us is some of the product launches are later part of the year. So in this year, we will see a slower H1. Then a much stronger H2. Okay, so it's more not a seasonality; it is more of customer kick-ins, and we also had issues with component shortages in the past, which is more or less eased out now. But there's still some remnants of that.
Okay, sir. I just want to know. So then, our 15% margin that we've done. So we are giving a conservative guidance, or because we've been able to achieve this right now, so what is stopping us from achieving it in our future? So because
one of the things is
our orders are kicking in also, so you know that will also help us.
Okay. So our mantra has always been not growth at all costs, but profitable growth. So we in fact, I have walked away from certain businesses because the margins were not there. So we're a little picky on that sense on how we think of our future. We are looking for, again, profitable growth and not growth at all costs. That's one of the reasons you see us not playing in high volume, low margin areas. If it is just the top line, that would have been the easiest way for us to get the top line.
So, RMS here. So just to add to the point of your Q4 and the margins you have seen and the guidance for the year. So just to add to the factor about H1 or where KB talked about H2 being stronger than H1. So taking all of it in account, we have given a guidance which is for the whole year. So that's something we need to factor in.
Okay, sir. And so if I may, typically, how much time do we take to complete our order book?
So the two sets to the order book. One is the order book as we talk about, or as we say, is 12 to 14 months. But a lot of these orders have long-term contracts and some have LOIs, where the intention of the volume is to talk for the future, But what we normally talk or give guidance is for 100% orders on the books, which are shippable in 12-14 months.
Okay. And if I may, sir, one more question. So, sir, is there some part of service that are there that we might be focused on, which would be margin accretive, or that would be a different business that would be happening?
Yeah. Your question is on service business and whether we have any service business is margin accretive.
Yeah.
Is that the question, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, we have a small company which is focused on about 150 engineers, which is fully focused on design and services, number one. And number two, for us, that's not so much about the margin, but it's also about being a funnel for bringing the new business to us. So they add a lot of strategic value to us. And over and above that, as KB said earlier in the call, we do get engaged with the customers 12 to 18 months before the product launch, and most of the work during that period is done on a fee basis rather than on a product, because the product is evolving. So that is what we call a new product development. We help them to develop the new product, which is done at a fee service basis. So these two makes the whole customer sticky with us, where we help them to launch the product or reach the market. So that's how the whole service line of business works for us.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pradyumna Choudhary from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. So, first question regarding the segment-wise demand, if I might have missed it, I did hear a couple of lines separately, but, if you could just take us through the demand across various segments. And secondly, regarding the revenue growth, I do understand previously also you'd mentioned that, one of the reasons we haven't really grown as well is because of component shortage over the past couple of years. But from that perspective, like, even if I compare ourselves to our peers, they seem to have grown despite, these component shortages. So what are we doing now to ensure that such a situation doesn't reoccur? Because from what I see, we have a very healthy order book, and executing just that would lead to a good growth. So, just trying to understand, what are we doing to ensure that, we do not fall short on, that side?
Yeah. So let me take the first question, which is in terms of the segment revenues. This is for FY 2023, where I said about 25% is from clean energy and 30% is from industrial, and 20% is from mobility, and the rest is spread across communication, medical, and others. Okay, this is for FY 2023. Okay? So moving forward, KB did talk about our clean energy is growing much faster, and we expect the percentage of revenue to be much higher, moving towards sort of the 30% range. Okay? So that's in terms of the segment revenues. And in terms of the growth in the order book remains healthy. One specific differentiating factor vis-a-vis our peers is we are highly focused on the exports, and the export and U.S. market has some amount of headwinds in terms of what they're seeing, inventory correction, inflation, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? So that does have an impact on the immediate and existing customers. But what we are seeing is a continuing traction of new customers who are looking to switch or getting into EV, which is a growing space. So that continues to be robust. But the point about them is it does take a longer, what do you call, role in terms of trying to ramp up. Okay? So all of this is the one which is lead to a slower growth when compared to the rest of them, coupled with some component shortage. So this sort of explains the sort of the revenue vis-a-vis what the peers have done.
And one more point is we have not, we have so many options to get in the consumer space. So if you need top-line growth, that's the easiest way to solve it. We, by design, have stayed out of it so far.
Yeah. So, taking into account the order book. Sorry, just if you allow me to complete. Taking into account the order book and the kind of traction what you're seeing in terms of the new business and inquiries, we believe the 25%-30% growth range for the next 3 years is something achievable. So leaving aside the quarter-to-quarter differences, this is something which we are confident of.
Thank you.
All right. My question actually regarding the segment wise was more on the demand side. Like, if as per the segments, you can just give a hint on the demand side. I understand clean energy will grow very well, but how are you seeing the demand or weakness in demand in other segments?
So clean energy, this KB here again. Clean energy by far will be our fastest growing segment, and followed by mobility. Okay. Again, clean energy, we're seeing tremendous growth, but it has to kick in. But once it kicks in, we are very confident on where it can go. Next is mobility, like I said, and we are looking at the most profitable part of mobility, which is aerospace, to bank a lot of our growth on it. And we just are servicing multiple products now. Hopefully when it kicks in, it's going to be projects with very, very decent margins.
Understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. To ask a question, ladies and gentlemen, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ankit Salgya from Vijit Global Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hey everyone. Congratulations management on very good set of numbers. I have a question regarding the domestic business. So I'm just trying to understand where Government of India is trying to push, you know, lot of in-house in India production. Are we focusing on PLI schemes that are being coming from the government for like different sectors like white goods or IT hardwares? So I'm trying to see where we are trying to focus on what we have talked about other than those things, like on computer IT hardware variables or Internet of Things.
Yeah. So to answer your question, we would love to participate in some of the PLI schemes, but we have not seen something coming for our industry, let's say if it's mobility or let's say if it is for clean energy yet. But saying that, I'm pretty sure that the government will look into that in the future. What we do a lot is import substitution, okay, where we do all these railway signaling products, braking products, and there's no credit for that either. But we've always operated on a low capex, high asset turn model. So that is one of the reasons why our numbers are not based on PLI schemes. But saying that, if the right scheme comes our way, we are more than happy to get into that. And I think the IT hardware has just come out, you know, 10 days back or so. We are sure looking into it, and if something is a good fit for us there, we'll surely apply for that.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot. And just follow up to that, what kind of like particular sector in domestic market that we are focusing on right now for our revenues that we say we are doing like 30% or so of our revenue? Other than like the clean energy is more on export sector. I'm just trying to understand more on domestic business where we are getting traction from.
A lot of it is mobility without aerospace. Aerospace is export. A lot of it is mobility and industrials.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek N. from Shanti Financial Services Private Limited. Please go ahead. Vivek N.
Yes, am I audible?
Yes, you are audible now, so please go ahead.
Yeah. Yes, Vivek.
Yeah, thank you. So, you know, congratulations for a good number, but I'll share all that.
Sir, sorry to interrupt, but the line for you sounds muffled.
Hello, is it better now?
It's slightly better, sir. Go ahead.
It's better? Okay. Yeah, so as a shareholder, I wanted to understand why the valuation at the time of IPO has still not been gained by the company. And when I look at the financials, in spite of very good and promising future for the company, profits are, you know, whatever, 5% maybe. Growth is around 15-20%. Certainly not in the among the leading EMS players from within India. So this is a chance for us to reflect on what possibly other things you know, the company could be doing to get the major end of the value you know, emanating from this industry, and where probably our strategy or you know, execution can be different. Thank you.
Yeah, RMS here. I'll try and attempt and answer this question in terms of performance and the strategy and the share price. So this is a company which is started about 20 years back. So you go back and the history, it's about manufacturing India and catering to the global market. And we have remained true to the strategy. We've been doing that. Today, EMS industry is what they are trying to do. And some of the peer strategies are slightly different. So what we've been doing is true to the strategy. We've been catering to the high profitable segments and continue to do that. Even in the domestic market, we started some time back with about less than 10% market share. Today, our market share, our revenue share is about 30 to 40% and continue to grow as the Indian market grows. So we continue to explore these options in terms of higher profitable growth segments, and we continue to work on the same. So as a strategy, this has been our strategy and we want to remind, and wherever required in the course correction, we continue to do the same in terms of that. Okay. And if you look at the performance, Q4 performance, that reflects in terms of how we've been able to do if sort of the right climate exists. And FY23, we have also explained the reasons in terms of the growth. Okay. So as a company, we are focused on performing, and the traction what you're seeing in terms of the new business growth, we are confident of achieving the guidance in terms of doubling the revenue over 3 years, what KB talked about. So on a share price performance, our firm belief is as long as you continue to remain core of strategy and build the company and work on the strategy of what we have communicated to investors, share price will reflect the fundamentals in the long run. That's something which we don't want to comment on day-to-day share price movements. So thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Pujan Shah from Congruence Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir, how much number of customers were onboarded for this quarter specific?
Sorry, can you repeat the question? Sort of not clear.
Yeah. Okay. So how much number of customers we have onboarded this quarter? Because we have, I think, 81 customers initially from last about FY22, we can say that there was a 81 customers. So in FY23, what could be the number of customers we have done, total number of customers?
This is RMS. Let me try and answer this question. In terms of some of the significant customers and wins, KB did talk about something in the aerospace and also in the mobility segment. In terms of the exact number of customers, something which I don't have, we can always get back to you in terms of the number of customers, because you know, there are some customers who just come on board just for prototype or few things, but you know, they will gain traction as we move along, and I don't have the exact number of customers on board, new customers in that quarter, so we can get back to you on that.
Okay. And sir, can you just give the revenue split by the product wise for FY23, like design, PCB, box build? I know box build, you have said about 47% comes the revenue. How much would be the PCB? Because ultimately PCB and box build around the revenue contributions around 80%. So can you just split for the PCB side?
In terms of the box build, I think we have given the number which is growing, but we really don't get into segmenting beyond that specific thing. We give industry-wise, which is numbers been given, the individual segment is something, the number which we don't track, or we don't want to be getting into discussing that.
A lot of the box build will also take the PCB.
Okay, right, good. And last question would be the new CapEx which we are doing of 30,000-35,000. So what are the lines we are adding? It is into metal sheet fabrication, cables, or like somewhat which line we are adding to? Or it is SMT lines?
No, so a lot of this, there's around 160,000 square feet coming online in the next 6 months. Out of that, the large portion of it is for big box builds. When we say big box builds, these are generator type boxes which are large in size. I don't want to mention the industry. So we need space to make these products. So around 40,000-50,000 square feet will go for that. The second part of the expansion is for cable and harness assembly. We see tremendous growth in the cable and harness space. So they will be moving into this new factory, and the existing space will be used by PCB assembly. Apart from that, we are renovating and moving our plastic department into our second building, where we have seen a lot of growth coming from the aero side, and we need to have an updated and a state-of-art facility to cater to that. And the last bit, which is going to be very interesting for us into the future, is special processing of metal, which is required for aero industry. Today we outsource a lot of that, so we want to bring that in-house and get NADCAP approval. So that will set us in stream for larger orders from that segment, and we outsource a lot of that today. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, yes, sir. But sir, cable and harness, if you look into the capacity utilization, it would be around 60%. So are we seeing any, like, if I'm talking for FY22, say in FY23, are we seeing any higher utilization for cables? That's why we have been establishing the new lines, or how we are looking into, because the order book has been built so much that we are not been able to capacitate or fulfill the order in the current production capacity.
See, it's more in cable, it's very capex light, as you very well know. It is a space requirement for our growth. Okay, it's not adding new machines or so. We need larger space to execute a larger part of the business. And we also need space for our PCB side of the business, and the PCB will grow into where cable is today.
Yeah, okay.
It's just moving of divisions for space.
Yeah, so majorly capex is for the space side and not for the machinery and all that, like the buildings, the new lines and all that stuff.
Yeah, this is Subramanian here. Let me just add to that. Just an ballpark number, approximately 50% of the capex will go into the refurbishment of the buildings and land and buildings part of it, and the balance 50% will be the machinery part of it. So that's the number you can look at.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Bismit Nayak from RW Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. One clarification. You said order book that is given in the investor presentation is executable over the next 12 to 14 months, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And on working capital days, sir, when would we go back to pre-COVID level?
Today is about 140 days in terms of net working capital, and the focus is on looking at inventory, 123 days, and we have given the guidance about 10 to 15 days for this year. So pre-COVID will take some time. My belief is more in the medium term rather than the short term.
Understood. And on this space addition, sir, you said 1,60,000 square feet. So of this, 50%, I did not get that part. Can you please clarify it again?
There are, I can, this KB here, that there are two facilities coming on board. One is around 130,000 square feet. Out of that, 50% will go for cable and harness assembly. And the 50% which is critical for us is for big box builds, which take up a lot of space. I'm talking of large boxes like a generator or a compressor or so. We are getting into doing large box builds. So that is the two areas that 130,000 square feet building will have. The other one is for plastics and special metal processing, which we are introducing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as our last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Bhumika Nair for closing comments. Over to you, ma'am.
Yeah, I would like to thank all the participants for being on the call and asking all the questions. And thank you to the management for giving us an opportunity to host the call, and wishing you all the very best, sir. So any closing remarks from your side?
The only thing I would like to add is, for us, it is not growth at all costs, but it is profitable growth. That's been a mantra, and that's what we want to deliver to the shareholders over a long period.
Thank you. On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.